This podcast is sponsored by Aurora Packaging Solutions, a global packaging solutions provider leading the transition to a more sustainably packaged future. They specialize in developing packaging and visual communication solutions that reduce the impact on the environment and bring sustainability goals to life. With a focus on partnership and service, they create a custom solution for your business. To learn more, please visit www.ororapackaging.com. Welcome to Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. Today's guest is my friend, Mr. Frederick Drew, who is the global packaging R&D leader at Unilever Prestige Brands. Hey, Frederick.
Hi, Corey. Nice to talk to you again and very happy to be with you today.
Thank you, sir. I am totally excited about today's conversation. This might turn into part one of part two of two podcasts, which is fine because we have so much to talk about. But Unilever is an amazing company with over 400 beauty brands, or brands, I should say, that's under your umbrella. And the fact that you are willing to discuss those today with us is very exciting. So thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, let's talk about your background. How did you get into sustainable packaging?
Well, I think it's fair to say that I fall into it, basically. Roughly 20 years ago, I started in packaging, starting with an academic university background, already related to packaging in a way, but a bit more far. And I wanted something very, very applied, something which I can work during the day. And when I go to the shopping, seeing my product on shelf, you know, it's something I think every packaging people will understand me. There is this moment when you have your first project and you see it on shelf that you fall in love with packaging with that.
Yes.
But your question is also about sustainable packaging. And I think probably doing packaging in Unilever is a good place to fall in love with sustainable packaging and to fall into it.
Yeah.
Because the target we set to ourselves already for many, many years to try to do better in this space is really energizing, let's say. Yeah. And of course, it starts with the work that you are doing and where you are doing it. But there is always a part of your personal story too. So if you don't mind, I have a very, very short story to explain why sustainable packaging is so important for me. I started my career in Unilever, and I had the chance to do different category in Unilever, from ice cream through food and finally home and personal care. So a lot of different challenges, different angle to approach things, etc. And the first category I was working for, in fact, working even in the factory, was ice cream. And later on, of course, when I got my she-like ice cream, of course, and when you are working on a dish, there is a lot of selling point where we sell ice cream, and she recognized the logo. And it's such a moment when your daughter says, oh, this is daddy's ice cream. And you love this moment. You're very proud. And it's not the same feeling when she spots a packaging of ice cream outside of the sun on the same beach, which has the logo of your company on that. And she says, oh, this is ice cream from daddy. And this moment you say, this is not what I want to do. I want to do things differently. I want to have my packaging for the first moment of joy when she recognizes it and tastes the ice cream and eat the ice cream, but not when we are walking on the beach and we see it in the environment. So this moment is one of the moments that makes you think, I want to go the extra mile and find better solution and maybe being a bit more than passionate, but sometimes a bit activist in this space.
Absolutely the case for me as well. When I had, or my wife had our kids, it was amplified, I would say is the word. Everything I thought about sustainability became 1,000 times more important. And that's part of the impetus of this podcast and the work I do every day to spread the message about sustainability and how we can all, especially brands, can improve our packaging to be more environmentally friendly.
And when it's touching you like that, it's also creating a sense of urgency. You want to solve things, but with the right solution and try things to make it faster, better, let's say.
Yes.
And I'm very happy that I'm working now for Prestige, for example, because this is really a space where the brand are really agile, like startup. But with this power, which they can change something and very driven by their purpose. So this space where I am right now, I could not dream about a better place to try to make this sustainable packaging.
It's an amazing opportunity at Unilever Prestige. You're making great strides towards sustainable packaging. Some of the samples you sent that we will talk about today blew me away. I've never seen him before, and I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm thrilled. Can you speak to your role there and what's going on at Unilever?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Unilever committed very, very early to packaging commitment to try to make it better, more sustainable. We even raised the bar even more by expanding those commitments a few last year even. And that I like also, because expanding the commitment from the planet also to the people also. And that's something I connect quite strong. It's quite important for me. And using the brand, because like every company, we want our brand to be winning on the market. And we want to delight our consumer, which I understand you have been delighted by the packaging. Yeah. So we want to delight our consumer, but we also want our brand to be a force for good, something that can change and that can improve the life. So not only the planet impact, but also the social impact. So, and this is done, I believe, strongly, and we believe is done through purpose of the brand and the innovation that in which it transformed to the market. So about my role itself, I like to think about myself about the connector. Mm-hmm. A connector with a bit of technical background, etc. Of course, so I can connect the right thing together. But right. Connector is probably the if I have to say one word, is connector. It's connecting the brand purpose, and each brand has its different purpose also that you need to respect and that you need to nurture. And connecting this brand purpose with meaningful innovation opportunities. So attracting those opportunities, connecting them together with something which is meaningful for the brand and meaningful for the consumer. I also alluded to it, but it's also connecting the ultra reactivity and agility of prestige brands, for example, with the power of Unilever R&D. So I'm at this kind of central point. Yeah. I'm connecting those two together, which is really something I'm enjoying every day, basically. And it's like bringing best world together. Another part of the connection, which is very important for me, is the connection I play with the external world, with the supplier, with the partner, with the raw material, because you realize very, very early that you need this network. The solution, you don't find them always on your own. On the contrary, you need to work with people, with partners to find those solutions. That's very important for me. And the role of connecting takes all its sense when you connect to the external network. And the last part of the role, which again, I hope a lot of packaging people will recognize.
Yes.
Packaging, when it comes to sustainability, is quite often something I say is the visible part of the iceberg, because it's so concrete, so visible, unfortunately, sometimes, that it crystallizes quite a lot of sustainable topic. Mm-hmm. But when you have understand them and when you start to act on them for packaging or through packaging, you have almost a duty to expand this to other topics. So I try to be also a door through packaging and to connect other topics on sustainability, like impact on social, on people, etc., through packaging and expanding that outside of packaging also. So connector is probably the one word that describes my role into that.
Well, you're doing an amazing job at it, sir. I'm totally impressed. And you're right. It's not just what we're doing to improve packaging, but it's how are we sustaining the earth? How are we cleaning up messes made in the past? How are we reducing the amount of electricity needed or water needed or, you know, reducing greenhouse gases? There's all of these things that are important to this world of sustainability that we need to focus on. But definitely,
You just mentioned one point important. You say restoring, and I think that's something also I pretty much I was re-energized, which was the target when Unilever went beyond the initial commitment on packaging.
Yeah,
because indeed it was recognizing that after the first 10 years that we were pursuing our first commitments, the new leadership, let's say Alan Yoke, for example, top up with more commitment. And one of the signals that was sent to us primarily was it's no longer the time to just reduce or to try to minimize the impact of what we are doing, but we have also to restore or to repair the environment, because unfortunately, the planet is a bit beyond already what could have taken from it, which means that it's important to not only try to minimize, but to also try to repair as much as what we can with our brand and with our purpose.
Yeah, just like the story you told about your daughter picking up the wrapper on the beach. It's so critical that we teach them that that's important and that we participate with them to do those kinds of beach cleanups and parking lot cleanups or whatever the case may be. But yeah, well done. It's exciting. I'm energized about what's happening in the world of sustainable packaging and sustainability and environmental movements. Things are going in the right direction, I think. Of course, we could do better, but we're doing, in my opinion, lots of very positive things. So I want to talk to you about some of the specifics, because you guys have so much force behind you and so much knowledge that you can share with the people that will be listening to this podcast. Can you tell us, why is it important to set a sustainability goal for your packaging?
Sure. I think it's important for two things, for yourself, let's say, or as a company or as an individual within this company, but also for the outside world. So for yourself, it's quite easy to understand, basically. It's setting up an ambition that you want to achieve. And I would say from this point of view, setting something which is difficult to achieve is very important. I remember when the last commitment, the last update on the commitment were released, I remember that our CEO, for example, was mentioning, we don't know if we can achieve all of that, but this is not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, this is what needs to be done. And now we need to work to try to go as close as that or even beyond that, because that's what needs to be done. Yeah. So it's not the moment to think about can we do it or not, it's how do we do it, basically. I like that, because it's very important. It's very challenging, and you need to be challenging yourself. So the first element is indeed to allow to challenge yourself and to measure your progress against this target.
Right.
The other thing is also the signal you sent outside. Basically, you are willing to go the extra mile on this kind of thing. And it's the call that you send to support, the call that you send to your partners, to the retailers, to even to the consumer, eventually, to embrace this journey with you. Again, it's not something that you can achieve alone. So recognizing that when you have such an important target, or when you set so difficult target for yourself, you realize very quickly that you need others to join you to succeed. And this is, for me, the moment where you start to connect with the external world, which is very, very important. And sending those important message, which are the commitment, is very important. This being said, commitment is only commitments in a way. For me, it makes all its sense when we are able to transform that concretely. And the best moment when you transform that concretely is when you bring that into the end of the consumer.
Yes.
And it's so important. It means that not only you need to bring the solution, but you need also to explain what you are doing and why you are doing it. And I think in Prestige, we try to bring that to the end of the consumer, to bring the commitment concretely in the end of the consumer through the experience that we deliver to them with our packaging and with our product. And that's the moment where you say, well, we have done something till the end, because it's in the end of the consumer.
Yes. It's exciting to achieve a goal that we've set. And it's very necessary, like you said, create a stretch goal, you know, where, how far can we push it, and how much more sustainable can we be? On that note, I want to talk about high post-consumer recycled material. Is that the answer to plastic sustainable packaging? A quick break for our sponsor this month. Now is the time to go beyond recycling. SmartSolve pioneers certified bio-based water-soluble packaging technologies that empower consumers and businesses to effortlessly reduce plastic waste. Our non-toxic materials quickly and completely disperse when combined with water and agitation, thus making them easily recyclable, biodegradable, and even zero waste. If zero waste packaging interests you, please contact us today at info@smartsolve.com.
I'm always careful to use an expression like the answer.
Right.
I don't believe that there is one answer that fixes everything. Unfortunately, it will make our life very easy and our job very easy. But it's not the case. I think one sentence that I use a lot is that there's no silver bullet when it comes to sustainability. There is a sum of solution, and it's about finding the right solution for the right pack, for the right geography, for the right market, etc. It's a big challenge. It's difficult, but it's even more trouble when you believe that you have the solution because you most likely be wrong.
Yeah.
So, but it's definitely part. It's part of the solution. Why? Because using high level of post-consumer recycled material in plastic, but also for other material, is definitely part of the solution because you keep reusing the same resource. You give a second life. You take something out of the waste, basically, to make it a second life and to give back a life. So basically, you avoid extraction of new resources. At the same time, you reduce the carbon footprint of what you are doing most of the time. And when you start to reuse something, for sure, you cannot be wrong from this point of view. And I think that's very important to keep reusing the resource, minimizing the new resource we put in the system, and start by using the resource that we have already created and integrated in the system. I'm very convinced about circular economy because of that. And it's also, when you think about circular economy, and recycled plastic is a very concrete example of that. Mm-hmm. It's again about the partnership and the interdependence of the partners. One thing I like about it is that when you do something positive in a circular economy context, you, in cascade, you will create also positive answer of the loop, which, by the way, at some point will come back to you as an incentive to do even better. So if I'm using high level of recycled plastic, for example, I will create a demand and I will create the economical condition for the recycler, an economical model to sell the recycled plastic. When he's that, he's going to be able to recycle more. And he will ask me as a brand owner, by the way, if you want me to have more material for you, you need to make sure that your packaging are even more designed for recycling and make my life easier to recycle it. So it's an incentive for me to design even further for recyclability. And this circular context, I think, makes so much sense in terms of the partnership in the interaction between the different partners of the value chain.
I agree 100%. That is the key to all of this, is making this material valuable so that the recyclers will want to participate in this concept. You sent me some beautiful samples. This is Rin. Clean skincare, and it has a beautiful package. And you mentioned the lid or the cap is gray instead of white. And
this is one of the first tube that we launched already a few years ago. And this cap is 100% PCR. The gray that you see is the color of the PCR. There's no master batch in it. And same thing for the tube. You can see that under the IML, there is also a gray color because that's the color of the PCR. So for technical reason, we have only 50% in the tube, but we have 100% in the cap. So very high percentage of PCR overall in the tube. And instead of trying to hide it, we say, why not showing it? Because we should be proud about using PCR. So we use it. And you can see that the way to integrate it is basically that we have combined a flashy yellow color, basically, which is fine for a product like that because it's an SPF, together with the gray, and it fits well together. And at the end, you don't necessarily have to hide it, basically. You can embrace it.
I think it's stunning. And that's one thing a lot of people talk about on the show is, oh, sustainable packaging maybe doesn't look as nice. Well, I disagree. It can be beautiful. And especially when you explain to the consumer that this is gray because it's recycled and it's made from high PCR, that is so, that's an attraction that your consumer will appreciate if they're like you and me. That is.
And it's a proof also. It's credible. It's a proof. Yeah. You are using PCR. PCR, most of the PCR, whether we want it or not, is gray. Yeah. And this is a proof that you are using PCR. You show it.
That's exciting. And this sample also came in a very interesting box. And this box is a reusable box called Boox, B-O-O-X. Can you speak to that? It's a really cool design.
It's something that has been put in place more recently, indeed. And Ren is the brand that is doing that in our range with Boox. So basically, you know that the explosion of e-commerce, for example, especially under the COVID condition, has created quite some tension on the corrugated, for example, in terms of sourcing, but also in terms of recycling it, because high volume, for example.
I can feel that in my bones. Yes, that's indeed. All I've been dealing with for the last 2 years. Yes,
and most of the time when you have to basically get rid of this corrugated at your place, for example,
yeah,
you realize that they are still very, very good and they could go other trip, etc. So yes. Books is pushing a bit the model into that by having returnable boxes that can be used many, many times. And basically what you do is that once you got your product safely at home, you can fold completely this. And there is a label already on it that you can just put it back into the post. And basically it's being reused. So Books will then check it, recondition it, eventually clean it if it's needed. But you can see it's done with a material which is easy and can withstand that.
Yeah.
And it will come back to us for the next shipment, basically. And there is a high number of returns that you can do like that. And it's also saving resources, as we mentioned before. It's another way to use reusable and returnable shippers.
I think it's brilliant. And it can be used probably hundreds of times. Plastic corrugated is so strong and so durable. And it's just got this real neat 3M mushroom closure that's just really strong. That material, I know from testing myself, is incredible.
And if you don't mind, I want to take the opportunity to say a great thanks to the REN team, which is quite pioneering this kind of solution quite often. So big thank you and hello to AG, to Anna, and to Jason, and to Nicola.
Well, big shout out to all these teams from these Unilever Prestige brands. It's exciting. I'm so impressed with the samples that you sent. And we're only touching the tip of the iceberg here.
Indeed. And each brand has a different, slightly different purpose, but all aligned in the same direction. There is one common point with all the people working in this brand, working in packaging or in other function, the passion.
Yeah,
they are all passionate about it. That's why we try to go the extra mile in this.
Right. Well, and that leads us right to the next brand, which is
Dermalogica,
which is this beautiful container. I believe it's an Aptar brand.
The pump, yes.
Pump is, all the same material, 100% all the way through.
Exactly. So correct? Not only the pump, but the bottle too. So
fully recyclable.
This is a great example of something which I think the cosmetic industry in general, but wider than the cosmetic, can be proud. One of the key aspect for recyclability is to try to simplify our work by making our packaging monomaterial. This is so, so important. And of course, so far we were using multiple material because we need different property for different area, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it was not very easy and not an easy shift. And I think pump like this one are quite a symbol of the progress that has been made in this space.
I agree.
There is a lot of packaging. And believe me, when I say 5 years or even sometimes 3 years ago, when we were trying to find solution, the number of people you could hear saying it's not possible. and there is nothing more than I like when somebody is telling me it's not possible, by the way. That's for me the reason to do it almost. And I'm very, very glad that we see this change. And Aptar is one of the suppliers, one of the first one to bring it to the market.
Yeah.
This is a full monomaterial PE pump. And because the bottle is also PE material, the full pack, the pump plus the bottle, is full monomaterial PE. So it's going in the same stream. One thing which is also very interesting about this pump is that, and there is something I like about sustainability when it's coming with an extra benefit. And in this case, the extra benefit is also coming from the design, from the modernity of it, let's say, but also from the fact that this pump is e-commerce, is ISTASIC certified. Why is it important? Because we know that this has been a big shift in our industry, that more and more packaging, more and more products are being delivered through e-commerce. And this is a source of waste, a big source of waste when your packaging cannot withstand that. So having a pump which is also ISTASIC is also very important. The trick is that when you are in lock position, the actuator can freely turn and basically can take any shock because basically it will not resist to the shock but absorb it by turning, basically. And and then when you want to use the pump, you just unlock it with the little white ring, and then it's positioned for you. And you can lock it back, by the way, when you travel, for example. So this is great. Extra benefit for me, which I think is very, very, very interesting for this pack, on top of the sustainability benefit, but very proud of this one. I don't want to forget that this bottle is also made with 50% PCR.
Oh, wow. Another benefit. So oftentimes you'll receive a pump like this. I'm holding up a, if you're listening, I'm holding up a plastic pump, 500 milliliter, beautiful design. And it comes with tape all over the top because, you know, that's how they've had to do things because they've had so many issues with the pumps breaking or the this and that. But what you're saying is this is lockable and won't be affected by movement, which is I've received this just like this in a brown corrugated box and with very minimal materials inside. It was actually these airway paper airbags, which I highly recommend. They are a great product, but beautiful. Just this is next level sustainability stuff. And I've been so excited about this show for so long because of all these topics.
I think you were mentioning people saying sustainability can be sometimes difficult to combine with beauty, etc. I don't think anybody can say that this bottle is not beautiful.
It's stunning. I'm excited to use that product. And it's just, they're a great company. I think they're based out of California, if I understand.
Los Angeles, yes. Yeah. Very great company. Let's not forget that the packaging is still at the service of the product inside, and the product is fantastic, believe me. And this packaging is nice, and thanks to the team from Dermalogica, Kevin and John, but also with the partnership with Aptar, and special thanks to Maria in this case too. So Kevin, John, Maria, and Dermalogica and Aptar team, thank you very much for this one.
Yeah, a great point here. We're just talking about the shells of these amazing products. Excellent. Well, I want to talk about something different. I want to talk about refillable packaging. Do you think refillable packaging will have a large part in the sustainability movement?
I think it already has a large part. We have seen in the last years a lot of change of behavior, a lot of attempt also. There is a lot of pilot in this space. I don't think we have reached the maturity yet into that. And that's why there is still a lot of trial and error, but it's very important to try. So there is many things happening there. I'm convinced that refill is definitely a big part of the answer also on sustainability, because by definition, when you refill, when you reuse, you immediately reduce the amount of material that you will use. It's also an interesting way to be able to make your primary packaging a bit more than just a packaging, something that you want to keep. There is an element of potential elevation of your packaging that becomes a more robust object, something that you want to keep. A reason to keep it is because the object is more beautiful, etc., and that you start to refill it for the convenience of it. And I think that's very important. So, and this comes together with what is the extra benefit that refill can bring. So refill in itself is a benefit for sustainability, but I think the nicest example I have seen on the market which brings refill to a different level is when there is an extra benefit, when the object is really something you want to keep and there is something more you can do with it. Oh. And I will come back quickly to this one, but I want to use the example of fragrance, where we see a lot of refill. There's almost not any new launch in fragrance at the moment which is not coming with a refill option. And why is that? Because you have this beautiful, beautiful perfume, packaging, bottle, etc., which are almost, for some of them, art object, I can say.
I agree.
And you think about it, when it's empty, what I do is it feels bad. And that's why there is a lot of people collecting them even.
Yeah.
Now you have the possibility to refill them. And I can say that freely because we don't have any fragrance business. But it's something which I can see big shift in fragrance from this point of view, where this element of keeping the pack and refilling it is really, really visible. And in this spirit, we also try to find with refill extra benefit that can come with refill. And indeed, the palette makeup for glass that we did recently is tapping into that. So that's the sample I think we sent you. In this case, it was starting with a very interesting concept. You may know that makeup artists, they tend to do their own palette of colors, a bit like a painter will do. And usually the way it works is that they have little godets of colors that are magnets, for example, or they stick it onto a palette. And we said, how can we replicate that? And Hourglass is a brand that I love. And probably this is one of my favorite project so far in Prestige, and big thanks to Jennifer and to Carissa, because they did this project brilliantly, I think.
It's beautiful.
And what we did with that is we wanted to do something on refill for color palette, which is different than what has been done so far. There is other refill palette on the market, but we wanted to start from this artist makeup concept. First, because it gives sense to the refill. How many customers are buying a palette with five colors, for example, and they are finishing one or two, because basically that's the two that you are using often. And the palette is basically cannot be used anymore. You throw big half of the product, basically, because you need to buy a new palette again. So refill bring already a solution to that, because you can change the color, which is finished, and keep using the other one. Yeah. Another thing which is very interesting for me also is that this is allowing the customer to do his own mix, adapted to his own skin tone. So this is there is an element of inclusivity into that, because you can serve much more different customers and answer different needs of the consumers in a different way. So refill is basically allowing you to do something more personalized for the consumer. And that's the extra benefit that I like to unlock when we do sustainability into packaging. And I think it's beautiful. It's becoming an object. The little color godet is full aluminium anodized to not prevent the recyclability of it. So even the color is gold, basically. This is anodized, so not preventing the recycling of it.
So for those of you listening, I'm holding up a metal, probably aluminum, beautiful designed eyeshadow case with five empty slots and a mirror above on the upper flap that is just beautiful, something anyone would be proud to own. And then what they provide are these inserts with each eyeshadow shade. And here's a stack of different options. Frederick sent me five, which my wife and daughter are excited to steal from me immediately following this show. But they are just beautiful colors. And to me, this kind of innovation is absolutely necessary, because in the past, this would have just come full of the five colors. And when you were done with the two that you like, you toss it and you buy another one, which is unnecessary waste. This is a brilliant solution. Well done.
Do you want a little behind the scene detail on it?
Please.
So you can see we are not using magnets to it's just a system of clip of the aluminium godet in a plastic frame. The plastic frame is the only plastic that we have in this pack, but you can see that the plastic frame is black and it's PCR also.
Wow. So that's
except,
so cool.
Except for the colorant, the black colorant inside, it's only PCR into it. So full PCR except the colorant.
That's amazing. Well done. Kudos to you and the team at Hourglass. And is that the brand or is that the company?
That's the company, Hourglass Cosmetics. And you may, and if I can highlight something that they have done, they just receive a very nice prize of innovative company also. And one of the innovation they launched is called Red Zero. It's the first lipstick without insect-based carving inside. Hmm. So you may not know, most of the people may not know, but most of the lipstick, the red lipstick, is coming from crushed insect, and especially female of this insect, by the way.
I had no idea.
Hourglass is the first brand who have brought Red Zero, so a red lipstick without insect into that. Really true to the purpose. I was talking about the purpose of the brand. The brand purpose for Hourglass is really linked to cruelty-free and vegan in this case, and that's a good proof of how you can really bring completely disruptive innovation if you are truly true to your purpose, basically.
Wow. I had no idea that they crushed up bugs and insects for this kind of thing. So that's news to me, but well done that they have figured out an alternative to that, because it sounds unnecessary, I guess.
Zero is the name of the product.
Red Zero. I'll add that in the notes. Well, Frederick, do you have a funny story for us or something that you can tell us about a good memory you have in the sustainable packaging world?
Yes. And for that, I will use, I think, a sample that you receive also in the books. This is something I've been pursuing a lot. And I mentioned, so there is this one, but there is also the other one. Yes, this one. This one is an airless packaging. And I mentioned a bit earlier that there's nothing more than I like when people are telling me something is impossible. And I have been looking also in my previous role in Unilever at technologies about molecular recycling. So basically something that people sometimes call advanced recycling, but I don't like so much this term. I prefer feedstock recycling or molecular recycling because it's effectively cutting the plastic molecules back into their initial building blocks. And for many years, technology lab proven, let's say, but people were saying, it's not possible to launch it at scale because too expensive, it will not work, etc. And it works, and it's on the market. And this packaging that you have in your hand right now is made out of material coming from those new recycling technology. And this, for me, is a symbol that when you want something, when you truly believe in something, you need to stick to it. And you need to find the right way, because sometimes it's not, you don't have the right approach the first time, etc. You need to find the right way. You need to find the right partner. In this case, kudos to Savic, for example, and to the people who believe in this technology, basically, because this new technology, this new family of recycling technology, which is also something that brands need to support. Not only we when we were talking about the impact of using recycled content for plastic, for example, you can take it as a fact, but you can also try to support things that will make the plastic even better, recycle plastic at even better quality. And this technology allows to regenerate plastic in the virgin properties, like if it was done in virgin quality. Wow. And not only it's interesting from the output point of view, it's also interesting in the waste that it can treat. Because this can be done with plastic packaging that currently are very difficult to treat in traditional mechanical recycling. So from this point of view, you bring something on the market which is completing already something which is existing. So you top up basically with more. It's not to replace it. On the contrary, it's to complete it and to top up. And this kind of thing is very, very important for me. And you can see that from something which was meant to be impossible a few years ago, now there is a lot of production plant being built as we speak around those technologies.
It's a beautiful pump. And what I'm looking at is a clear material. I cannot read the number on it, but it is recyclable and made from recycled material, which is the goal here.
Yeah. Yep. And we still have to use mass balance for that at the moment. But that means that at the beginning of the process, the equivalent waste as a waste weight mass has been reprocessed to be able to produce that. And you can see the transparent part of this pack are also made with this material.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And absolutely. I want to name the partner Aptar again in this one. Aptar.
Yeah.
Which took the leap of faith also to produce this pack also with us at the beginning.
Yeah, they've been on the podcast before. I was absolutely impressed with them and just amazing group of people. How about this one? This small
aluminum. Is one of my favorite too. This one is about bringing a different sampling experience to the consumer. So as you know, most of the sampling is done with sachet, for example. And sachet can be a need in some region for product and to reach the right price point that population can afford to bring hygiene, etc. But when it comes to free sampling, it's a bit disturbing to use single-use sachet plastic, which are used for very short time, sometimes which are a bit lost or not very used, and also with quite a messy experience sometimes. And what we wanted to do with REN is to provide a new sampling experience. So I'm not saying it's a like for sachet, because you can imagine we are not talking about the same cost. But we wanted to have something that the consumer can use, so a mini tube, that can be recycled, so that's aluminium. It's 100% recycled aluminium, 95% post-consumer, 5% pre-consumer, but 100% recycled aluminium to reduce the carbon footprint and the extraction of new materials, so not needed in this case. You can see that the nozzle, you can break off the nozzle. And when you turn back the nozzle, you can reclose your pack. So it's not a complete reseal. It's not something that you rescrew. But for example, when you are a consumer and you want to test a product over a few days, which is sometimes difficult with a sachet because you will open the sachet and it's going to be messy. You drop the sachet in the bin. In this case, you can break the nozzle, take the product, put one dose on your face, close it back, and leave it like that on the sink for the next few days so that you can test the product over a few days. So not only you have a sample format which is more sustainable, but it's also a better experience for the consumer and a true way to test the product. Because at the end, what you want to do when you sample, you want people to truly test your formula, your product. And it's very difficult to say with one try, you are convinced. Here you have the possibility to try it over a few days and really see the effect on your face.
This is called Ren Clean Skincare. That's R-E-N.
Yeah. That's the brand.
Ever Calm Redness Relief Serum. And it's a beautiful alternative to a sachet. I'm totally impressed with this. I've never seen this before. And well done.
And this is not possible without partners. So the partner in this case is Tubex in Austria.
Okay. I'll have to get that name from you and we'll include that in the show notes.
Sure.
This is amazing. Absolutely incredible. What do you think is the future? Is this are we looking at the future here, or do you have visions on new innovations coming?
It's very difficult to say. First, right. I cannot say things which I'm not allowed to say.
I see that as a yes.
I think that there is a combination of few things which is there. For example, if you want to check what is the future, it starts with what is not possible today that will be possible tomorrow. For example, if you and like many of the things you have today in the show were not possible a few years ago, for example.
Yeah.
So if I could time travel, I would like to see in a few years' time where we will be with paper-based packaging, but truly paper-based packaging. So things that can be recyclable in paper stream. So how do you really keep, or can you package liquid in paper and paper that can be recycled in the paper stream? And in this case, also other form of material, where do we source the new material that we're going to use in the future? We know that fossil feedstock is no longer an option. We need to go away from that. So we can recycle more. For example, maybe the landfill of today will become our mind of tomorrow.
Yes.
Where we can extract the resources that we have been using for a while, that we put in landfill for no reason, and that we can extract again. And the technology that we have, like the chemical recycling or the molecular recycling that we mentioned before, will be technology that can be used to recycle this material that has been forgotten in landfill, but are still valuable feedstock, for example. So that I would like to see that in the future. And of course, I would like to see our refill and our consumer habit will keep evolving, creating new needs that we will have to answer as packager with new material. But I'm sure of one thing, whatever we bring new on the market, we'll be more respectful of the planet and we'll be more respectful of people.
Yes. Well said. Wow. I love that. Thank you, sir. That is perfect. And what a great way to end the show. How can people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
Well, even though I'm not every day looking at it, but LinkedIn is a good way also, because when I see something interesting, especially from our brand, I'm trying to share the news basically. I also encourage people to have a look at the different social media from our brand, because I think it's very important when you engage on sustainability, whether it's packaging or not, by the way, when it's on formulation or even action you do on social impact, for example. It's also important to share the journey with people and to explain what you are doing and why you are doing it. So our brand are really trying to bring that on social media, for example, and on their website. So do not hesitate. Unilever website itself, it's a very good place to check what we are doing and how we are doing versus our commitment, but also concrete action that are coming to life on the market too.
Very impressive.
I mean, again, very important is not only the commitment, but what we put in the end of our consumer. And that's what you see also on social media and on the websites.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Frederick. I appreciate you. Thank you, Unilever Prestige, for allowing us to have this show and this all of the samples. Thank you, Landsberg Aurora, for sponsoring another episode of Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. If you're listening, please take a minute to subscribe and give us a review. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Frederick.
Thanks you, Corey, and thanks everybody for listening.
We hope to have you again soon, sir. Thank you.
With pleasure.
This episode is sponsored by SpecRite, the first purpose-built platform for specification management. So much has changed when it comes to packaging, and there's a new book to help you stay ahead of the curve, The Evolution of Products and Packaging, written by longtime packaging executive Mr. Matthew Wright. Helps you unpack industry trends and explains how you can use data to drive packaging innovation and sustainability. Download your free copy today at specright.com/book. That's SPECRIGHT.com/book.